So welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference Call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhuji to enlighten us on Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Prabhuji, are you present on the call? I think Prabhuji has not yet joined, so we can wait for a Hare Krishna,
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. We will chant Mangala Charan first. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं. वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च. नम ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामीनिति नामिने. नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वांचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्य नाम्ने गौरातिसे नमः. पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं. हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते. तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद. हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. हरे कृष्ण. डियर डिवोटीज, प्लीज एक्सेप्ट माय हम्बल ओबेसेंसेस. ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्रील प्रभुपाद. आई अपोलोजाइज फॉर द डिले. So we will be studying two verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita today. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 24th, entitled The Explanations of the Atmaram verse, and we will be doing verse number 37 and 38. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining to Sanatan Goswami about the Atmaram verse, and specifically he is explaining to him in great detail the meaning of the word Itham Bhuta, which means full of transcendental bliss. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu further goes on to explain to Sanatan Goswami how Krishna is so wonderful. So we will be reading two verses today. Verse number 37. Tvatsakshat karnalada vishuddhabdhi sthitasya me sukhani goshpadayante brahmanai api jagat guru. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. My dear Lord, O Master of the Universe, since I have directly seen you, my transcendental bliss has taken the shape of a great ocean. Being situated in that ocean, I now realize all other so-called happiness to be like the water contained in the hoof print of a calf. Purport. This is a verse from the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya 14.36. Verse number 38. Sarvakarshak sarvahladak maharasayan apanara balekare sarvavismaran. Translation. Lord Krishna is so exalted that he is more attractive than anything else and more pleasing than anything else. He is the most sublime abode of bliss. By his own strength, he causes one to forget all other ecstasies. Hare Krishna. Gurave Gaurachandraya Radhikaya Tadalaya Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha. So my dear friends, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining to Sanatan Goswami not only his own instructions and explanations, but he is substantiating whatever he is saying from various scriptures. So verse number 37 is a direct verse from Hari Bhakti Sudodaya. So this verse, this literature, Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, is mentioned in Sanatan Goswami's Hari Bhakti Vilas also. And here Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami also is mentioning this verse in his Chaitanya Charitamrit. So what is Hari Bhakti Sudodaya? It is actually a section of the Naradiya Puran. It is glorification of Bhakti Yoga described by Narad Muni in Naradiya Puran. Hari Bhakti Sudodaya is a part of Naradiya Puran, one of the 18 Puranas. Naradiya Puran has around 25,000 verses. And there is a section within Naradiya Puran called Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, which is around 1600 verses, 1600 verses. So this is a quotation from that. This verse is from Hari Bhakti Sudodaya of the Naradiya Puran. And here it is mentioned by Narad Muni how Krishna is most wonderful. So the whole context to the two verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita that we are reading today is that Sanatan Goswami requests Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give explanation of the Atmaram verse that he had given to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in the past in Jagannath Puri. So hearing this request, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, now I have forgotten what conversation I had with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. It's been a long time. But whatever comes to my heart, whatever Krishna inspires me, I will speak that. And now he's speaking, giving various explanations of the Atmaram verse, which is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. The gist of this verse is that even though one may be a liberated soul, even though one may be a very elevated personality, Atmaram, one who is fully satisfied in the spiritual bliss that one experiences within. For example, the Chatushkumar, the four Kumaras. For example, Sukhdev Goswami, in the womb of his mother, the wife of Vyasadev. They were all Brahmanandis. They were all Atmarams. They were happy, blissful, in their spiritual realization. Even such Atmarams, they become attracted to Krishna. Akarshitahi iti Krishna. Krishna is one who is all attractive. Krishna can attract everyone, including the Atmaramas. So this is the gist. This is the gist. This is the essence of this verse, that everybody is attracted to Krishna. Krishna is all attractive. Even the Atmarams, who are otherwise not attracted to anything else, they are self-satisfied, even they become attracted to Krishna. This is the context. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking these two verses that we read today. How Lord Krishna is most exalted. He is most attractive. More attractive than anybody else. More pleasing than anybody else. And he is the most sublime abode of bliss. And he causes us to forget all other ecstasies, even the ecstasy of Brahmananda. Even the ecstasy of impersonal liberation. So this is our Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada, our most merciful Acharya Srila Prabhupada, he sacrificed so much, he worked so hard to give us this Krishna consciousness, which is the highest dharma for any living entity. Because Krishna is the summum bonum. Krishna is the final word. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is most wonderful. Everyone is attracted to Krishna. George Harrison writes at the beginning of the Krishna book, everyone is looking for Krishna. It's very true. Very true. Everyone is looking for Krishna. Because Krishna is the last word. Krishna is the summum bonum. Krishna is the ultimate abode of bliss. Krishna, the reservoir of all pleasure. Srila Prabhupada's small book. It was the first book I read. Krishna, the reservoir of pleasure, of all pleasure. Krishna is simply wonderful. Also, one of the first books I remember reading in Krishna consciousness was Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. And there, Bob, who later on became Brahmananda, Brahmatirtha Prabhu. He was Bob. And he comes and asks Srila Prabhupada different questions. Nice questions. And Prabhupada gives perfect answers. So the book is called Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. Very wonderful book. In that, Srila Prabhupada makes a very wonderful statement about Krishna. Prabhupada tells Bob that everything is coming from Krishna. So then Bob says, what about all this, you know, that is going on in this material world, all these rascals, they are doing all these rascal things in this material world. Is that also coming from Krishna? And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, Krishna is the original rascal. Krishna is the original rascal. And then Prabhupada goes on to mention some pastimes of Krishna with the gopis. So very, very wonderful book. Very, very, very wonderful book. This Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers is. And in these verses, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining how Krishna is so wonderful, how Krishna is so attractive. And especially our Krishna of Vrindavan. Everybody feels great attraction to Krishna. You see, Shukdev Goswami, when he was in the womb of his mother, he was already Brahman realized. He had already realized the spiritual nature. But when he started walking away, because he did not want to get entangled in materialistic life, house, family, relationships, money, all these things, economic development, sense gratification, he was not interested in all this. He was Brahman realized. He was already blissful. So he just walked out into the forest. And to attract him back, Vyasadeva, who is also very learned, he started narrating Srimad Bhagavatam. And this Atmaram, Shukdev Goswami, he became attracted by the very sweet narrations of Srimad Bhagavatam. This Shukdev Goswami, he came to the bank of Ganga to deliver Parikshit Maharaj when Parikshit Maharaj had only 7 days to live. And he spoke such wonderful, he built such a beautiful foundation in the first 9 cantos. He describes Bhagwan. He describes Bhakti. He describes Bhaktas, devotees, like Draupadi Devi, like the Pandavas, like Dhruv Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj, Gajendra. They are all mentioned in the first 9 cantos. The wonderful activities of Krishna. Krishna himself, as well as Krishna's different incarnations like Ram, Narasimha, Vamana, Varahadev, they are all described in the first 9 cantos. All the incarnations are described. Krishna himself is described. Even Krishna's wonderful activities are described. How he goes to meet Bhishma Dev at the last moment. His interactions with Kunti Devi. All these activities are mentioned. How he saved the child in the womb of Uttara. How he saved Parikshit Maharaj. All these wonderful activities of Krishna are mentioned in the first 9 cantos. And his incarnations are mentioned. And his devotees are mentioned. And the process of bhakti is mentioned. Because Dhruv Maharaj is Bhajan Kriya is described, Prahlad Maharaj's Hari Bhajan is described, the prayers of Gajendra are described, the Bhajan of Chitraketu Maharaj is described, the prayers of Dhritarasur are mentioned. So everything is mentioned, the Prachetas are mentioned. So everything is mentioned very nicely. The life of Narad Muni is described in the first canto. So the process of bhakti is mentioned, bhaktas are mentioned, and Bhagwan is mentioned in the 9 cantos, first 9 cantos, in addition to so many other things. Different avatars are mentioned, Manvantara avatars, Purusha avatars, Guna avatars, Shaktyavesha avatars, Leela avatars. They are all mentioned. Everything is, the creation is mentioned. Everything is described in the first 9 cantos. A beautiful foundation is created by this Shukdev Goswami, who was Atmaram and who heard something called Srimad Bhagavatam, which attracted him even though he was already Atmaram, already Brahman realized, already Brahmanandi. That Shukdev Goswami created a beautiful, strong foundation. How we have to build the building? First, we have to create a nice foundation underground. Nice concrete, nice steel foundation. Shukdev Goswami created the most wonderful, strong foundation of 9 cantos. And Parikshit Maharaj also had passed the test of controlling his appetite, controlling his thirst, his hunger, his senses, his sleepiness, his mind, his attachments to family, kingdom. All these tests Parikshit Maharaj had passed. So Parikshit Maharaj was fertile. And Shukdev Goswami, having heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Srila Vyasadeva directly, who is an incarnation of Krishna. Shukdev Goswami also was very potent. So this is the only thing that is required in our spiritual life. My dear friends, are you listening? Only this thing is required in spiritual life for all of us. All of us on Bhakti Sangha who are listening. The only thing that is required for spiritual success is this, my dear friends. A fertile disciple and a potent guru. Shukdev Goswami is a personal parrot of Srimati Radharani from Goloka Vrindavan. He is the son and disciple of Srila Vyasadeva. He has never committed sinful activities. He is never going to commit sinful activities. Tesham Tvantagatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmana. Yes, Sukhdev Goswami is never going to commit any pap, any aparad, any sinful activity. He is most pure. He is self-realized. He is in the parampara. He is empowered. He is a potent guru. So Sukhdev Goswami is sitting on the bank of Ganga in the assembly of all the sadhus as a potent guru. And Parikshit Maharaj, having given up everything, just wearing a kopin, he is sitting at the lotus feet of Sukhdev Goswami with an erect back, hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the literary incarnation of Krishna. This Srimad Bhagavatam is being received by Parikshit Maharaj. And Parikshit Maharaj has passed all the tests. He has passed the disciple course. He has passed all the criteria that are required for a bona fide disciple. He is eager. He has no other priority in his life other than to hear from his spiritual master. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Kori Akya. Arana Mane Asha. No other desire. I just want to hear from my spiritual master and make the words of my spiritual master my mission in life. Parikshit Maharaj has no attachment to his kingdom, no attachment to his house, to his palace, to his servants, to his wife, to his children, to his subjects, to his wealth, to his position, power, prestige. Nothing. He has given up everything. And all he wants to do is hear Krishna Katha. All he wants to do is hear Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the qualification of a perfect disciple. So Parikshit Maharaj is a fertile disciple and Sukhdev Goswami is a potent guru. And the guru has created a beautiful foundation of 9 cantos. And Parikshit Maharaj is still very eager to hear. He is not complaining of hunger. He is not complaining of thirst. He is not complaining of any sleep. The Bhagavatam class did not pause at night. It went on for 7 days and 7 nights, continuously, without a break. Parikshit Maharaj is a fertile disciple and Sukhdev Goswami is a potent guru. What happens when a potent husband and a fertile wife come together? There is conception. There is conception. Shri Srimad Gaur Govind Maharaj explains this point. When a fertile wife and a potent husband come together and they have a union, then a child is produced. A real child is produced, not an imitation child. Please listen, my dear friends, with great attention. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in this regard comments that in his commentary to the third canto, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that if we become sahajiya, if we start faking the symptoms of Krishna Prem, then we are like a woman who is imitating labor pain. When a woman who is pregnant, who is full term, goes into labor, her uterus starts contracting. And that is painful. She gets these spasms in the lower belly because the womb is contracting, trying to push the child out into the world. That is labor pain. And those contractions, they become more and more powerful as labor progresses. The contractions become more and more frequent as the labor progresses. And then there is childbirth. But the childbirth can only happen if there is a real pregnancy. The child can take birth only if the child is in the womb. But if the womb is empty and the mother is just imitating labor pain, I'm getting labor pains. She's just imitating labor pain. She is not really pregnant. Will a child be born? No. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says no. A child will take birth only if there is a real pregnancy. So a woman who is not pregnant can imitate labor pain all she wants, all day long. She can imitate. my belly is hurting, I'm getting labor pain, I'm in labor, she can imitate the labor pain, but she will never get a child because there is no pregnancy. But if a pregnant woman who is 9 months pregnant, she's full term, and she naturally starts getting contractions, her water breaks, and the labor progresses, then what is going to happen? She's going to give birth to a child. Why? Because she has a pregnancy. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that if we imitate symptoms of love of God, unnecessarily in the assembly of devotees, we try to show how absorbed we are, how we become emotional, how tears start coming out, we start imitating all this just to show. Or even if tears come out naturally and we try to make a show of it to get respect from other devotees. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, we are like a woman who is imitating labor pain. She is not pregnant and certainly she is not in labor. But yet, she is pretending to get labor pains. What is the result? Shrama eva hi kevalam. She will only imitate that she is having pain. But she will not get a child because there is no pregnancy. But if a woman who is pregnant naturally becomes full term and naturally goes into labor, and then she starts crying, my tummy is hurting, I'm getting contractions, I'm getting labor pain, then yes, that is real. She will get a child. That is real ecstasy. So if real ecstasy naturally comes, like Prabhupada in our Atlanta, New Panihati Dham, when he was singing Parama Karuna Pahudui Jana Nitai Gaura Chandra, when he was seeing that few years ago there was no name of Krishna in this Atlanta. What to speak of Atlanta before 1965 in the whole America, in this whole North American continent? What to speak of North American continent in the entire Western Hemisphere? What to speak of Western Hemisphere in the entire world outside India? In Australia, New Zealand, Europe, Africa, North America, South America, Russia, nobody had heard Krishna's name. Nobody was chanting Krishna's name. And Prabhupada walks into this old house, 50-year-old house, which has been transformed into a temple on Ponce de Leon Avenue of Atlanta, Georgia. And he sees beautiful Gaur Nitai deities. And he sees so many devotees singing Gaur Arti, singing Narasimha Arti, chanting 16 rounds of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. They have given up illicit sex. They are taking a bath at least twice a day. They are wearing Tulsi Mala around their neck. They are holding Tulsi Mala in their hand and they are chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. They are clean. They are wearing dhoti kurta and saris, men and women respectively. They have given up meat eating. Given up meat eating! Can you imagine that? In the 1960s, when Srila Radhanath Maharaj told his father that I will not eat meat, I will never eat meat. His father said, you will die. How will you get protein? This is the 1970s. This is the 1960s in America. That is what the Western medicine teaches. You need protein, you need protein, you need protein. Eat meat, eat fish, eat eggs, protein, 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 so that you can produce more semen, so you can have more sex, so you can be more potent. Illicit sex, giving up illicit sex, giving up meat eating, giving up intoxication. Intoxication and giving up gambling, giving up the casinos, and Prabhupada was not even paying them anything. We have to tempt our children. Okay, you don't play video game, you do this, you attend, sit for this class, or you chant these rounds, and I will give you nice rasgulla. They were not kids. These were adults who had the entire spectrum of sense gratification at their disposal in America in the 1960s and 70s. Flourishing economy. Post-World War II, everybody was working so hard. America was a giant, economic giant. One of the most powerful nations in the world. All sense gratification. Free sex. It's not like India, that everything is a sex is a taboo. limited was free sex. Enjoy. You are young. 18, 19, 20 year olds. Enjoy. Free sex. Become a hippie. Have sex with as many people as you want. Men, women, same sex, opposite sex. Doesn't matter. Enjoy. You are bored of sex? Come on, we'll entertain you with intoxicants. Get high on methamphetamine. Get high on cocaine. You will be having sex like the pigeons. Unlimited. You will have so much energy, so much strength. You will go wild. You will go mad. And everybody is doing it. You're not the only one. Come on, do it. So many reasons are there to intoxicate. Oh, this government is nonsense. They are sending us to Vietnam War. We have so much stress. Let's drink. Let's smoke. Let's shoot cocaine. Aha. So much justification. Songs were being written about it. The hippie lifestyle of free sex and free intoxicants was being promoted. Such people who were in the peak of their youth, 18 year, 19 year, 20, 21 year olds, they had come, it was their time to gratify their senses and enjoy life. They have given up everything. Just obeying my instructions. Look, they are wearing dhoti kurta, chadar. They are wearing saris, tilak, kanti mala. They are living pure lives. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. They are dedicating their lives to Gaur Nitai. They are so wonderful. They are so wonderful. Gaur Nitai are so merciful. And with this emotion, and even deeper emotions which I have no access to, who can understand the mind of Prabhupada? Only Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu know what Prabhupada was thinking, what he was feeling, what he was experiencing, what ecstasy he was going through when he became overwhelmed in Atlanta, when he was singing Paramakaruna. This is our Prabhupada. So when it naturally happens, it's a different thing. But if, like Prabhupada, but if we artificially show, like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he was offering obeisances at the Alarnath temple in Orissa, near Jagannath Puri, he also went in ecstasy and he fainted. Sri Srimad Gaur Govind Maharaj also went into ecstasy for several days. The Vaidya was able to diagnose. Otherwise, the medical doctor, the Western medicine practitioners like myself, they could not diagnose what is wrong. They thought he is having seizures or he has become comatose or something. But the Vaidya said, no, no, no. This is Satvik Vikar, Ashta Satvik Vikar. This is ecstasy. So when this happens naturally, it is like a pregnant woman going naturally into labor and giving birth to a beautiful child. But if we artificially imitate, then it is like a woman who is not pregnant trying to imitate the symptoms of active labor. It will bear no fruit. No child will be born. It will be fruitless. So, this very, very beautiful foundation is created by Shukdev Goswami. And then very carefully he begins construction of the 10th canto, which represents Krishna's beautiful face. His beautiful, curly, shiny black hair. His beautiful eyebrows, which forever break the mighty bow of Cupid. One who meditates on the beautiful eyebrows of Krishna is never overcome by lusty desires, mundane lust. His beautiful lotus eyes, his beautiful white teeth, his reddish lips, his beautiful cheeks, very soft, softer than freshly churned butter, his beautiful ears, the beautiful earrings, Sukarna Ratna Kundalam, Namami Nanda Nandanam. This beautiful Krishna's lotus face is the 10th canto. And Shukdev Goswami, on the nice foundation of the first 9 cantos, he constructed this beautiful, very carefully he constructed the 10th canto. and then he speaks the 10th canto, which is the biggest, largest canto, 4 volumes. And Parikshit Maharaj is drinking the nectar through his ears. He's completely absorbed, completely blissful, hearing Krishna Katha. And then 10th canto, the 90 chapters of 10th canto come to an end. 10th canto is finished. And Shukdev Goswami has to continue the narration. 11th canto is Uddhav Gita. It is full of philosophical truths, like Bhagavad Gita. Uddhav Gita is even more detailed. Our acharyas explain that just like after eating a full meal, Krishna likes to eat a tambula, a paan, a beetle, that, because it helps in digestion. It's a mouth freshener. It helps in digestion also. Similarly, after eating the sweet dish of 10th canto, one needs a digestive. Therefore, 11th canto was spoken after the 10th canto, because it is full of tattva. After hearing Leela, we need to hear tattva also to digest the Leela, to assimilate the Leela, to understand the Leela. So for the proper assimilation and absorption of the Leela, we have to take a digestive in the form of Tattva Siddhanta. And that is the 11th and 12th canto. That's why Shukdev Goswami spoke the 11th and 12th canto, which are very, very instructive, which contain very deep philosophical truth. Not so many sweet stories of Krishna, but philosophy, hardcore philosophy. Both are required. We need to hear the philosophy. We need to hear the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita so that we develop detachment from this material world. We develop detachment and distaste for materialistic existence. But we also need to hear the 9th and the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. We also need to hear the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is so sweet. We also need to drink Chaitanya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita. We need to hear the pastimes of Rath Yatra in the Madhya Leela. We need that. We need to hear what Mahaprabhu did in the house of Venkat Bhatta in the South India Yatra. We need to hear his sweet interactions with the Kurma Brahman. We need to hear how Mahaprabhu embraced Ramananda Rai. We need to hear how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wrote his letter in reply to Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik, and then made them into Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. We need to hear how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed the last rites, Anteshti Samskar, of Haridas Thakur. Yes, my dear friends, we need to hear all this Leela, very sweet Leela, so that we become attracted to Krishna. So to develop detachment from this world is one thing. And also, the other side of the same coin is to develop attraction for Krishna. Both have to happen. Detachment from this world and attachment to Krishna, both have to happen. So we need to hear tattva, which causes detachment from anarthas. And we need to hear Leela, because by Leela Shravan, we develop attachment to Krishna. Krishna Akarshan. Both have to happen. So we need to hear the 10th canto. But then we have to take the digestive. We have to have the sauf. What is it? What is sauf called in English? Fennel seeds? For digestion. For digestion. Haritaki. For digesting the sweet Leela that we have received. So now Shukdev Goswami is going to go from 10th canto to 11th canto. Imagine, my dear friends. Here is Parikshit Maharaj, ready to give up his body. And here is Shukdev Goswami, who is trying to speak in a very controlled way, because there are so many other people sitting. Everybody is not of the same caliber as Parikshit Maharaj. There are Shaivite sadhus sitting. There are impersonalists sitting in the assembly. Thousands and thousands of sadhus and rishis are sitting. There are devotees of Lord Ram sitting. Vasishtha Muni is sitting, Vishwamitra Muni is sitting, Agastya Rishi is sitting. So many devotees of different rasas are sitting, my dear friends. Please put yourself in the position of Shukdev Goswami. And here is a simple Brajvasi Siddha Goswami, who is nothing but a parrot of Srimati Radharani. He's from Barsana. He's speaking in a very controlled way, because if he starts speaking what he wants from the core of his heart, then he will go in ecstasy, because he will start talking about Radharani and the gopis and the manjaris, and he will go in ecstasy. And he will wake up after the Takshak bird has come and bitten Parikshit Maharaj. But Sudhir Goswami cannot take such a risk. He has been given the service. The service has been ordained that you have to speak Bhagavatam. Our Acharya Srila Prabhupada explains that Sudhir Goswami is teaching us that our service, our seva, is more important than our own ecstasy. Therefore, Sudhir Goswami is being very controlled. What, he is not even mentioning the name of Radharani. And somehow, he speaks the 10th canto in a very controlled way. And now he has to go to the 11th canto. But Sukhdev Goswami doesn't want to end describing the pastimes of Krishna. He wants to do more. He wants to continue speaking Krishna Katha, direct Krishna Katha, Krishna's activities, Krishna Leela, Krishna Leela Amrit. And Parikshit Maharaj also doesn't want to stop the 10th canto. Sukhdev Goswami doesn't want to end the 10th canto, and Parikshit Maharaj doesn't want the 10th canto to end. But what to do? We have to end the 10th canto, because the 11th canto has to come. So many people are sitting. Time is limited. Time is limited. Takshak is going to come. I have only 7 days to speak, and you have only 7 days to hear. My dear Parikshit, Sukhdev Goswami is thinking. If it was just for you and me, we would have continued the 10th canto eternally. You, me, Narad Muni, we can just sit, Vyasdeva, we can sit and hear 10th canto eternally. Never end it. And it never ends. It's unlimited. Ananta. But what to do? This is Bhauma Leela. There is day, there is night, there is influence of time. There is the influence of Sringi's curse. It's going to take effect. So I have to end the 10th canto and I have to go to the 11th canto. I don't want to do it. And I know you don't want it, O Parikshit. But we have to do it. So Sukhdev Goswami is going from 10th canto to 11th canto, but he doesn't want to do it. So in his pain for separation, in his genuine distress, agony, of impending separation from the 10th canto, which is Krishna's lotus face, Sukhdev Goswami composes a verse, and Parikshit Maharaj is drinking the nectar of this verse. Sukhdev Goswami encapsulates the entire 10th canto in this one verse, at the very end of the 10th canto. At the end of the last chapter of 10th canto, Sukhdev Goswami composes this verse. He says, Jayati jana nivaso devaki janmavado iyaduvara parishat swair dorbhiratyan adharmam stita charan rishi nagna susmita shri mukhena urajapura vanitanam vardhayan kamadevam. Jayati jana nivaso devaki janmavado iyaduvara parishat swair dorbhiratyan adharmam stita chara drishi nagna susmita shri mukhena vrajapura vanitanam vardhayan kamadevam. Jayati jana nivaso devaki janmavado yaduvara parishat swair dorbhiratyan adharmam stita chara drishi nagna susmita shri mukhena vrajapura vanitanam vardhayan kamadevam. Jayati jana nivaso. Sukhdev Goswami doesn't want to end the 10th canto, and he is telling Parikshit Maharaj that the 10th canto never ends. Jayati. It lives forever. Don't feel sad, Parikshit. Don't be heartbroken. don't give up your life because the 10th canto is coming to an end. Your Krishna descriptions are unlimited. They never end. Jayati. Jayati Jananivaso Devaki Janmavado. And there is a war, there is a controversy. Whose son this Krishna is? Is he Devaki's son? Or is he Yashoda's son? The entire Balya Leela is encapsulated in this. Anyway, we don't have time to discuss this verse because discussion of this verse can take many classes, not by me, but by some Rasika Vaishnav who knows the deep meaning of this verse. But just read it. Keep reciting it again and again and again and again. And Guru and Gauranga will reveal many, many meanings of this verse to you, each of you. You can read Srila Prabhupada's translation. Although Prabhupada was not there when the later chapters of 10th canto were translated, but this verse appears in the Madhya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And therefore Prabhupada translated it. And he gave an elaborate purport also. Very, very beautiful purport. You can read that. But Krishna is so wonderful. So wonderful. So attractive. We should pray to Guru and Krishna so that we become attracted to Krishna's lotus feet. On Krishna's beautiful lips, Adharam Madhuram is the beautiful flute. Gopinath holds his flute. There are different types of flutes. Venu, Murali, Vamshi. Chittahari Vamshidhari. A beautiful poetry of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Ravananta kara makhanataskara gopijana vastrahari. Brajera rakhala gopavrinda pala chittahari vamshidhari. Chittahari vamshidhari. That is what Mahaprabhu is describing. He just steals away our mind. Machitta hritva iti hare. Hare. Gopal Guru Goswami explains the first hare of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Machitta hritva iti hare. Hare means Radharani or Krishna who steals away our chitta. Our consciousness, our mind, our heart. So Krishna's flute is so wonderful. When Krishna plays his flute, so many things happen. The four acharyas of the four paramparas, they have their own symptoms of ecstasy when Krishna plays his flute, his vamshi. Brahmaji forgets who he is. He receives Tene Brahmaridaya Adikavaye. He receives all the Vedic knowledge, all that is to be known. He receives the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam. He receives everything through Krishna's flute. Brahma Samhita. He receives everything in his heart through Krishna's flute. That is Brahmaji. Shivji, who is Nataraj, is dancing at the tune of his own Damru. Is the most expert dancer. He also fumbles with his damru, starts going off beat, and he misses his step in his dance. The Nataraj, the king of dancing, forgets how to dance when he hears Krishna's flute. Mother Lakshmi wants to give up Vaikuntha and go to the simple forest of Vrindavan. Rasa Bhilasho Vasatischa Vrindavane Tadishangri Saroja Seva Labhya Chapumsam Kripayata Vaiva Vrinde Namaste Charanaravindam. Rasa Bhilasho. She develops the Abhilasha to participate in the Ras dance. She wants to come down to Vrindavan. Not come down, she wants to go up to Vrindavan. Vrindavan is highest. She wants to go up to Vrindavan, leaving the opulence of Vaikuntha behind. She is willing to do so much tapasya, so much austerity to get entrance into the Vrajalila of Krishna. That is Shri. She is the founder acharya of the Shri Sampradaya. This is what happens to her. And the four Kumar, the Chatush Kumar, the four Kumaras who are expert at meditation, they lose their meditation. They become disturbed in their meditation when they hear Krishna's flute. And like small children, they want to run to have darshan of Krishna. Krishna is so wonderful. The Brajvasis, they become stunned when they hear Krishna's flute. The cows stop grazing. The grass is in their mouth. They forget to bite and chew on the grass. The little calves, they are drinking milk from the udder of their mother cows. They stop drinking milk. The milk it remains in their mouth. Their mouths are half open. They're hearing Krishna's flute. And the milk falls down on the ground from their little mouths. Because they are drinking nectar of milk from their mother's bodies, the little calves. But now through their ears, they want to drink the much more relishable nectar of Krishna's flute, the sound of Krishna's flute. So their ears immediately become erect. They become stunned, motionless, and they are listening with great rapt attention. The peacocks, the birds, they all become stationary. And the objects which are stationary, like the stones and the rocks and the trees, they start dancing, they start moving, they start melting, going towards Krishna, bending towards Krishna by hearing Krishna's flute. So the moving objects, they become stationary. And the stationary objects start moving. This is the beauty of Krishna's flute playing. The Gandharvas forget their singing. They forget their rag, their tal. They all go offbeat, off tune, when they hear Krishna's flute. This is the wonderful effect of Krishna. He's all attractive. And Prabhupada is presenting this all-attractive Krishna to us as it is. All we have to do is follow the process nicely. Krishna rasam sara koro chadi anacha jive doya Krishna naam sarva dharma sar nadiya godrumme Nityananda Mahajan. Our most beloved Nityananda Prabhu is telling us, Krishna era samsarakar. We are all grahasthas, okay. But have a Krishna conscious grahastha life. Krishna era samsar. Koro, chadi anachar. And give up the sinful habits. Follow the four regulative principles. Give up the sinful habits. Give up the dirty, abominable habits. Give up the wrong activities. And become Krishna conscious. Krishna era samsarakar. Chadi anachar. Jibe doya Krishna naam sarva dharma saar. The essence of all dharma is, essence of all religion, essence of all instruction is jibe doya. Be merciful to others and give them Krishna. Because the only deficiency in this world is Krishna consciousness. So give Krishna consciousness, spread Krishna consciousness. Jibe doya Krishna naam. And you yourself, take Krishna naam, chant Krishna's name in japa, chant Krishna's name in sankirtan. give up the bad habits, serve in the association of devotees, and make your life successful. If only we can follow the vows of our initiation nicely. Very good quality 16 rounds. Follow the four regulative principles and serve in ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada ISKCON, in the mode of servant of the servant of the servant. Then this Jananiva, this Krishna, Susmita Shri Mukhena, whose beautiful smiling face, someday we will be able to behold the beautiful form of Krishna face to face. And then we will never be attracted by these lower things. Everything is low compared to Krishna. Everything. Everything. Including liberation. Therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, Na yoga siddhir namamastu moksho vaikuntha loke pina parshadatvam prema pinasya diti chetaram tu mamastu vrindavana eva vasa. I don't want anything except Vrajavas. Because then in the association of the loving Vrajavasis, I will perform Vraja Bhakti. Na yoga siddhir. I don't want mystic powers. I don't want siddhi. I don't want perfection. Na yoga siddhir namamastu moksha. I don't want moksha. Vaikuntha lokepi. I don't even want Vaikuntha. Parshadatvam. I don't want to be even known as a parshad of Vishnu. Nothing. Mamastu Vrindavana Eva Vasa. Mahaprabhu also said, Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani shware bhavatad bhakti rahay tuki toi. I don't want wealth, I don't want followers, I don't want to enjoy sensual pleasures, I don't want to be known as a learned scholar, a kavi. I just want to be your bhakta. I want to perform Vraja Bhakti, birth after birth after birth. Vritrasura also prays similarly. Na naka prishtham, na cha paryameshtham, na sarva bhavam, na rasadhipatyam. Na yoga siddhir apurar bhavam va samanja sattve virahay akamshe. I don't have the akamsha to become sarvabhama, a king. I don't want Brahmalok, Parameshtham. I don't want higher planets, lower planets, the planets of the Nagas, Nagalok. I don't want anything. Apunar Bhavam, I don't even want Mukti. What do I want? Oh, giver of all opportunities. I just want your the opportunity of rendering devotional service to you in the association of your devotees. Mamottama shloka janeshu sakhyam. This is the highest benediction. To be in the association of devotees, to be in the society of devotees, like-minded devotees, and perform Hari Bhajan, Krishna Bhajan, and drink Krishna Namamrit, Krishna Leelamrit, Krishna Rupamrit. Just drink the nectar of Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. We are very fortunate, my dear friends. It is 12 o'clock. We will conclude the class. Please forgive me for my deficiencies. Please forgive me for my incompetence. Or don't forgive me. But thank you for tolerating my incompetence and my inadequacies. Please, if possible, bless me so that I will get a fraction of the devotion and dedication that each and every one of you on this Bhakta Sangha conference group have. My humble obeisances to all of you. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Chaitanya Charitamrit ki jai.
Hare Krishna. Namvat Pranam. Thank you so much for taking us, envisioning us, helping us to envision the pastimes of Krishna. And especially reciting that verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. And yes, Prabhu, you really, you know, it was really a very, very, you know, beautiful class. You know, even a second, you know, I was not able to take off my mind from this class. You went in a flow, and in such a flow you described, it was really very beautiful for me. And especially the Nanavadi that you shared by Srila Gaur Govind Maharaj, that was so appropriate and so we could relate to it. So really indebted to you, Prabhu, and really grateful to you. So thank you so much for such a wonderful, well-presented class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Kirtida Sundari Mataji. My humble obeisances to you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Guru Gauranga. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu, Dhanvat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Prabhuji, for the wonderful class. And like every time, whenever you give a class, it's so wonderful because you always bring into the essence of Krishna consciousness the four regulative principles and the vows which we take in during our time of initiation. Like you remind us every time, and I think every time that reminder is so very important. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Mataji, for your kind words. All glories to Guru Gauranga. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
All glories to you, Prabhuji. Very, very wonderful. Nicely and directly goes into the heart. Very nice explanation, recitation of the verses and prayers. Very, very wonderful. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Komaduki Mataji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Adi Gadadhar Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam Prabhu. This is Surveshar Shyam from Charlotte. Yeah, very nice to hear, Prabhu, from you. You know, very nice content and how 10th canto is followed by 11th canto, the tattva aspect. So I really will release that part, Prabhu. So Prabhuji, one question, Prabhu. So here you are trying to explain about Itam Bhutva, right, Prabhu, which is transcendental bliss. So chapter, this verse 37 is from, just reading the purport, Prabhu. It's from Hari Bhakta Subodaya. So who is speaking, Prabhu, to whom, Prabhu, this verse? Who is, like, any idea, Prabhu, who is telling this?
In Hari Bhakta Subodaya or in Chaitanya Charitamrita?
In Chaitanya Charitamrita, we know, right, Prabhu, Sanatan, Mahaprabhu is explaining to Sanatan Goswami.
Correct.
Yeah, in Hari Bhakta Subodaya, just...
Narad Muni speaks this verse in a section where he is glorifying Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj and other devotees.
Okay.
In that section he speaks, but exact, I have not read Hari Bhakta Subodaya. Exact context, I don't know. But it is spoken by Narad Muni in that scripture. It's part of Naradiya Puran.
Okay, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu. Prabhuji, one more question. This word Itam Bhutva is transcendental bliss, right, Prabhu? So just trying to relate, Prabhu, in the Bhagavad Gita, in 10th chapter, 9th verse, right, Prabhu, we see two words, like Pushyanti Cha, Ramanti Cha, which also kind of relate to transcendental bliss. So any difference, Prabhu, between Itam Bhutva and those words?
Prabhuji, in my humble, limited understanding, it is similar. Both you are right. Both are similar. Yes, Prabhu.
Okay, Prabhu. Yeah.
Yeah, it is same concept, in my opinion.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Thank you. So if there are no more comments or questions, we will conclude the class. Thank you so much, everyone. Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha.